Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer, and we are blessed to have our next guest here in person. She is the founder of And Life. She's a mental and physical expert of well-being. And Andrea Marcellus, thank you for blessing us with your presence.
It's always a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
People get confused today about well-being. And there's so many different programs, gurus, preachers, teachers, mentors, coaches about well-being, and they put themselves into different categories: mental well-being, physical well-being, spiritual, energetic well-being. As far as I know, the word being is a unification of all of that. And there's very few people that their expertise falls within the realm of oneness and the well-being and becoming of that idea. You are that person for me. And I love that your brand And/Life is also indicative of that unity. For other people, what is the one interference that people have that separates us into these categories, subcategories, these different niches and guruisms that exist out there? What is the one thing that you think causes that separation where we feel as if we need categorization in buckets for well-being?
Well, I think there's kind of too much information out there, and it always separates mind and body. It always makes like weight loss like this separate thing from your brain. And the fact is, if you are honestly trying to get into really good shape or just up-level your overall health and well-being, it starts here. It's not that it's just about your food or your exercise. It's literally about growing the right parts of your brain the same way you grow a bicep.
It's interesting because besides me, these are three physical specimens, especially for their age groups. And for me, I was always focused on the mental side, and I allowed probably into my 30s and beyond the physical side not to be as important. My health was not important until I got later into my 40s, and for the last 17 years have made that my priority, the unification of mind, body, and soul, even within the context. You're looking at one of the greatest athletes of all time. If you are a world champion, the 400,
absolutely,
any athlete would tell you he's one of the greatest athletes of all time. I'm sure you have a perspective on the melding of, because you teach kids today the mindset more than you do the physical, how to be fast.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
LaShawn Merritt, by the way.
I know.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you,
yes.
Too.
And Uncle Dave, I do.
I'm fine. Dave. It's an honor to be your uncle.
I do.
As long as I'm on this side of the U, not this.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes. You know, through my journey, as I trained and realized that being present really allowed me to connect the mind and the body, you know, and I feel like a lot of athletes that I trained with lacked and didn't realize how powerful it was to really be present in that, to really dial it in. And now I teach kids high school. I call it a master class. I go around and I talk about the why they're doing what they're doing and how important being mindful and connecting here first before you connect the body is needed, and that transfers into life. But my question to you was, like, the brain training, I never went through any type of training. It was just what I felt like needed to be done when I was in the sport. So how would that training the brain contribute to overall, like, physical wellness?
Well,
in your approach,
it's a really interesting thing. You have done a tremendous amount of brain for training. You've done a lot of manifestation training where you see yourself winning and then you race, but you're already a winner before you start. Well, I'm just trying to get the average person to understand that about their well-being or, you know, whatever it is. And the fact is that we have your brain will default to one of two ways of thinking. You're either thinking in terms of plenty and abundance and positive possibility, or you're thinking in a scarcity threat mindset that is a protective mindset. So the difference is, you know, are you living life in a way where you're playing to win, or are you playing not to lose? Mm-hmm. And when we're playing not to lose in that scarcity threat mindset, that's when the body is shooting out a ton of adrenaline and cortisol. And that's where we start to suffer from adrenal fatigue. And then that literally on a cellular level compromises your entire system.
Well, yeah, that was beautiful. Thank you.
This is right up your alley, John.
We are like very much on the same page. We come at it differently.
I've been dying to hear this question.
We talk about almost the same thing, and we don't know that yet, but I'm about to share it with you. So I talk about something called time capital, the way that we invest our time. Like, we all know where we put our money. Yep. We don't expect high returns from putting our money in low-risk investments. We invest our time, but we have no idea. Most people have no idea where they invest it. And then you have health capital, right? Time capital and health capital, we are born with a plethora of it, and then it starts to diminish. And most people never realize that the fungibility of their time for their money or their time for their health. And so what I work with is corporate executives, corporate athletes, yep, as you were, to help them figure out where to invest their time properly. You're helping them invest their time for health. Why do they get so stuck not seeing that they have all the resources in the world? And the thing that's most valuable, as Dave always says, the one question about health, they're not even bothering to answer until they finally get that day of, oh, you have X.
Well, I think it's because speaking of time, you have a self-concept. And I think our self-concept gets established pretty early. Yeah. And if you feel like a fit person or you were an athlete, I think you always see yourself that way. And like, time creeps by and our goals change. And you start to shift your goals to being the ones of your corporation. And they happen in 90-day increments. And we're really good at, you know, living up to those, because the milestones, the obvious societal milestones, start to dwindle at a certain point in our life, right? You start to hit certain things. You go to school, you go to college, you partner up professionally, personally, maybe you have a home, you have kids, like things like that. But then after that, it just becomes about living up to responsibilities and obligations a lot, and you end up on sort of a hamster wheel, and the only obvious milestones end up coming from your work. Right. And so, you know, so what I talk about is this concept of burnout is really an issue of two things. One, it's a lack of clarity about personal milestones after a certain point in life and what is fulfillment to you. And then secondly, it's energy. It's an energy issue. The way we live our life is energy depleting, and people don't know how to generate enough energy. So when it comes to like them not investing in their health or well-being, I think it's really actually they've run out of energy. They're doing the obvious milestone in their day, and then they don't have anything left in the tank.
Well said.
So Andrea, let me ask you a question. So you talk about the five life strategies a lot. It's in your book. That is your basis. You talk about the energy depleters. How do people re-energize it? How do they incorporate these five life strategies, and how do they get that energy back so they can do the things and live the life they want to live without feeling depleted?
And this is the secret sauce of, you know, what I teach, but the short answer would be, you know, nutrition strategy. And I have people focus on the meals they don't share with others, you know, get those in gear, and then just enjoy your social life. And honestly, it's that simple. Mm. And really, you can accomplish a whole lot towards your overall health and well-being. Exercise, as everybody here knows, and that became a non-negotiable for you, I know. You know, that is...
So does the camera mother. Look at season one compared to season seven.
Right? We the transformation. David Meltzer three
I look
times.
At the mural in Williamsburg, New York, right? It says, be happy. And the guy painted too realistic of a photo with my three chins. Well, and I think, why can't we redo the mural?
We were doing a promo for our upcoming event, and somebody grabbed a photo from 5 years ago. And I was like, no, get one of Dave. Get one of Dave.
Not John Lovitz.
Get one of Dave. I said, what is that? It's awesome.
Sorry, Andrew. I just
not at all. I mean, but that's it. You know, exercise is the key to reducing inflammation. Inflammation is literally the precursor to a symptom of, or absolutely 1,000% involved in, all disease in the human body. And it's the greatest immune booster going. Everybody's trying to down vitamin C, just move, you know, so it's some simple things like that. But also this, understanding what triggers that amygdala in your brain, that fear and anxiety center, and just simple strategies throughout the day to shut that off. They only take 60 to 90 seconds. The simplest one, balance on one foot and move your leg and just breathe. And any pattern of breath, movement, coordinated movement, and balance will activate your prefrontal cortex, your hippocampus, your cerebellum. Guess what? There is no multitasking. If these things are going, you know, so you can accomplish that activity for 60 seconds, guess what shuts off? That amygdala. You are not shooting out adrenaline and cortisol in that moment. I teach executives all the time. You're standing on a Zoom call, just stand and move your foot. Nobody knows what you're doing. And you're resetting. And, you know, little resets like that throughout the day, we're going to lower our baseline cortisol. We're going to heal the adrenals.
I think it was interesting, Chad, about your book, Keep Telling Yourself, that you mentioned, Andrea, which is really interesting to me, is that we'll never overachieve our own self-image. We'll never overachieve our imagination. But within the context of self-image, it actually can be counterproductive for successful hyper-actualizing people. And we've had this experience recently. We went sand surfing, my wife and I, and she crashed. And she's like, I forgot I'm 56 years old. She did fine. It just got stiff at the end, right? And and it's different when you're 56 falling than when you're 15. You know, you could take a baby's bones and it'll grow from side to side in a room together. But my biggest challenge wasn't that I didn't have a great self-image. It was that I had the wrong self-image according to the circumstances of the day, because I would have told a doctor from some of those pictures, because I have a concierge physician, and he must have laughed at me when I left. Oh, Mr. Motivational, Inspirational, Mr. Vulnerability. Yeah. He's sitting there lying to himself every time he comes into the doctor's office telling me I never get sick, therefore I'm healthy.
Yeah.
And that was what I was telling myself, Chad, was because I have extraordinary genetics.
Yeah.
And I come from a long lineage of middle-aged mutant turtles that live to 100, regardless of what they do themselves, smoke cigarettes and drink and fried food. But what if I actually was healthy and told myself, you got to continue these efforts? And that and life is so important to people. And your brand and your teachings and your strategies made my own divine direction much better to keep telling myself. I actually could go down what each of these gentlemen teach, incorporate it with what you teach, and have a great formula, a recipe that even Wolfgang Puck would approve at his restaurants on how to live with well-being. The expert at well-being, Andrea Marcellus, you are an incredible addition to the show as always. Thank you for livening up the class and wisdom of the poor folk up here. She is incredible. If you want to live well and be a well-being, and life is where to go, Andrea Marcellus is our expert here on Office Hours.